so when Gene initially invited me to participate in this panel last October, he sent his email message and he says, you know, I'm hoping if you want to take the LIS perspective on this topic. And I was, of course, a little bit insulted. But, you know, after all this hard work trying to cross disciplinary boundaries that Lou and I did in our book and that I've been doing in articles and conference talks for the last 5 years or so, still pegged as that traditional librarian. So, I thought, you know, do I want to do this panel? Well, yeah, I think so, because you know what? I'm proud to be a grumpy librarian. In fact, back in 1996, I wrote an article called Revenge of the Librarians, in which I predicted that the internet would make everybody into librarians. And I think that's coming true. I think that that's what Clay Shirky's getting at when he talks about the mass categorization or classification. Everybody's doing cataloging these days. And so we should feel good. A lot of the core concepts of librarianship these days are sexy. Librarianship is sexy today. Everybody is talking about metadata. The bloggers just can't shut up about it. This is good. So in the spirit of revenge, I decided to participate in Gene's panel. I want to begin by relabeling the panel. Oksanami is better than nothing. And that's a question mark. And I thought about saying worse than nothing, but I decided that would be too negative. So I wanted to kind of respond to the abstract that Gene put up there about this panel and sort of say, you know, he says, well, maybe the remarkable success of these services, you know, upend traditional thinking about classification and information architecture. Well, I think Gene is just plain wrong. First of all, I'm not completely convinced that these services are remarkably successful. But that aside, whatever success they have has nothing to do with upending traditional principles of LIS. I heard a quote from another guy, Steve, last summer. He, as they were sort of launching Apple's Spotlight, the desktop search technology similar to Google Desktop, Steve said, it may sound idiotically simple, but of course, you know, blah, 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 blah. Searching, not sorting it, is the wave of the future. Okay? Now, Steve is right. That statement is idiotically simple. It's all about searching. Searching stinks, as Jared has been known to say. Get rid of searching, it's all about searching. Any of these extreme positions are not particularly helpful. What Gene and Steve are suffering from is apophenia. William Gibson talks about it in pattern recognition, the spontaneous perception of connections and meaningfulness and unrelated things. Okay, they're mistaking noise for the signal. And there is a solution. There is a cure for this horrible disease of apophenia. The three-circle diagram, of course. What both Gene and Steve are doing is really not taking context into consideration. Okay, Flickr works wonderfully as a photo sort of image sharing service. Okay, and there's this wonderful byproduct that you can kind of look at other people, you know, pictures, other people's photos, tagged with the same tags. Okay, but you're not going to see any of these sort of free tagging approaches in the environments in which many of us earn a living. Okay, corporate websites, large governmental nonprofit websites. Okay, they're just not going to play a role here. In fact, in these environments where information architecture is about findability, but also about brand and identity and image, showing, you know, showcasing authority in particular subject areas, then hierarchy and controlled vocabularies and the integration of searching and browsing systems are only becoming more important, and companies are only investing more in these kinds of approaches, these traditional LIS approaches. So I have to agree with David Weinberger. I think that this statement is absolutely perfect. The old way creates a trade, the new ranks leads together. Because we know that what happens to leaves that are raked together? They rot. And they go down to the ground and they become a food source for trees. Which come in many, many different shapes and sizes and are very beautiful and live a very long time. And by the way, all the images that I'm presenting here, I found not through Flickr, okay, but through Google Images, which kicks Flickr's butt. If you look at the ability that you have with Google Images to search, if you look at quantity of images that are there, if you look at findability, Google Images is much better. Now, we could argue a little bit over quality right now, because Flickr's so new. And you've got the early adopters that are involved, and so you have fairly high levels of quality in Flickr. I think that's going to fall off. Okay, so I think that when we talk about findability with respect to Booksonomies, we need to look at not necessarily only traditional LIS approaches, but approaches like Google. Because, you know, this panel is what it's really all about, right, is aboutness and findability. Okay. We know that we have an increasing number of haystacks, and the haystacks are getting bigger, and the question is, how do we make bigger needles? Right. And, you know, Google has a fascinating approach to this. Right. You go on Google, and you search using the keywords miserable fail. And look what comes up first, the biography of President George W. Bush. Now, I figured this was safe to present this slide in Canada. You can be assured the words miserable and failure do not appear anywhere in his biography. Okay, this is about what is defined from the outside. The content owners and authors have lost control over about this in this context. And that's sort of interesting. Okay. I think, you know, what Google does and what's very interesting, and this, you know, some of the sort of social classification services kind of build on this as well, is, you know, what, at one end of the spectrum, you've got Flickr, and you've got the ability of lots of people to use the same tag, okay, on their images, and so we can see, you know, lots of images with this same tag applied. There's a lot of noise there. Okay. What Google does is let lots of people apply a term, a tag, to one document. And we sort of get this collaborative classification effort that has some very interesting results. Okay, another thing that I think the social classification approaches do have right is that they're very, very tightly tied together, people and content, people and tags. Right? They recognize that we use people to find content, we use content to find people. And I think that David Weinberger is really onto something with this quote, there used to be a difference between data and metadata. Data was the suitcase and metadata was the name tag on it. I do think there are some very interesting fundamental changes going on in the relationship between data and metadata. If you look at Amazon, if you think about a book, the massive amount of metadata that surrounds each book, all of the formal LIS classification data, the customer comments, and now the full text of the books. The full text of the book becomes metadata that can help you find a book. And I think, you know, Peter will probably speak a little more about that when he talks about tag inversion. And I think this stuff becomes really interesting when we start to look beyond the web, beyond digital information. And I'll take just a moment to explain this slide. This, This product is one of my favorite for sort of scaring people about the future. This is a wristwatch that you can buy on Amazon, and you buy it for your child. It's got a little key fob that allows you to lock it onto their wrist. And it's got built-in GPS technology. And so via the web, you can track the location of your child wherever they go. And this is, you know, this is a product that information architects should love because it even has a breadcrumbing feature. And where you can sort of trace the route that your child has kind of gone throughout the day. And you know, it continues to get scarier with radio frequency ID tags. They were increasingly tagging and tracking individuals. And Bruce Sterling has done some interesting writing on this subject. He talks about spying, right? Objects that are located in space and time. Okay, people that have lots of metadata associated with them. Products, possessions, pets. Okay, all sorts of objects. We're creating this internet of objects. And most of them are not full-text searchable, right? So we completely rely on the metadata tags that we apply to those products in order to find them. So I do think that it's interesting to sort of juxtapose the topic of folksonomies and social classification with the, you know, ubiquitous computing and the coming Internet of Objects. So I'd like to wrap up with five lessons of folksonomies, and maybe we can come back to these during the Q&A. Leverage what already exists or happens. Okay, this was the brilliant insight of Google, right? People are creating links. We're going to leverage those links to improve retrieval. Okay, and it's the insight with Flickr. Okay, people are already creating these images and want to share these images. And they need to tag them with something, and let's just let them share those tags. Okay. Tap the wisdom of crowds and users. Okay. There's a lot of, into that whole kind of, you know, the power of markets, okay, smart mobs, all that kind of good stuff. Tap the compulsion to share. I think Clay Shirky's right here. You know, don't ask too much. Right? People will give a few pennies, not necessarily a few dollars. Context counts. Okay. Folksonomies work in certain contexts and are completely useless in others, and that's okay. And never underestimate people's thirst for anarchy. For thousands and thousands of years, people have been predicting the imminent demise of hierarchy. Okay. It's just about to topple over, and it's all going to be hypertext. People get really excited about this stuff, and that's okay. Kind of gets the dialogue started, but hierarchy is not going away. It's certainly not at the hands of folksonomies. So I'd like to wrap up just with a sort of final example of the fragility of labels and tags and the difficulty we have in controlling what things are called. A couple years ago, a few of us were involved in creating the Asilomar Institute for Information Architecture. And, many of us had a lot of emotional attachments to Asilomar as the place where we really sort of got this organization going. But recently, it became the Information Architecture Institute. It's been relabeled. And so just as Peter Merholtz and I fight over, is it the good Peter and bad Peter, or is it Peter Me and Peter Mo? We're all going to kind of continually fight over what we call ourselves and what we call our information objects, and I think that's fine. So that's all I have to say for now. I'll step aside and put these guys up. Thanks.